It's 12:06 and 78 degrees in Santa Fe as At Noon continues from KSFR News on Friday, June 14th. Coming up this hour, as Santa Feans face restrictions on how many days a week they can water their vegetation, the small community of Mora County faces a near disaster because of the drought. On really hot days, more air conditioning and cooling units ask for more electricity to deliver consumers more cool air. But PNM says it has a way of helping solve the peak demand problem, one air conditioner at a time. And Santa Fe says there's plenty of parking around the new district courthouse, just not in its own garage. I'm Bill Dupuy, back with those stories, 60 seconds with Christopher Hagan, and more after headlines.
Operations are mopping up as containment efforts make good progress at both the Tres Lagunas fire near Pecos and the Thompson Ridge fire in the Jemez. The Horoso fire, however, is at zero containment due to its very difficult terrain. Estimates of its size range from 4 to 8,000 acres, but the intense heat of the blaze has been preventing accurate infrared mapping. No ground personnel have yet been deployed. The tactical team in charge is conducting flyovers to develop a containment strategy. The area has almost 1,000 acres of abundant ground fuels with vast stands of downed trees, felled by a severe wind incident some years ago. And a fourth fire in northern New Mexico is burning near the Philmont Boy Scout Ranch. They say it's about 850 acres in a largely unpopulated area. New Mexico's ACLU is asking the Whole Foods supermarket chain to explain whether or not it has a language policy at work. ACLU says it represents two employees who were temporarily suspended from work after speaking Spanish with one another while on duty. Laura Ives with the ACLU tells KSFR News there appears to be no policy when it comes to languages other than Spanish.
In the department where this policy had been announced, this no Spanish policy, there are other team members who speak different languages. The sushi team communicates and continues to communicate in their language, and there are two women from Tibet that also communicate in a foreign language. Those team members were not admonished, and nobody has focused on the use of their language.
The Kansas City Federal Reserve Bank says New Mexicans have less consumer debt than the national average. The bank's report measured all consumer debt except mortgages. It found that average consumer debt in New Mexico is just under $15,000. The national average is more than $17,000. That company down Roswell way, hoping to begin horse slaughtering operations, has been dealt a setback by the U.S. House of Representatives. The Appropriations Committee has endorsed an amendment that would get rid of federal funding for the necessary USDA inspections. Valley Meat Company has been awaiting final approvals to open their facility, which would produce horse meat for export outside the U.S. New Mexico's Attorney General just this week issued an opinion that such action would be in violation of the New Mexico Food Act. Even though the new district courthouse has no public parking, Santa Fe City Hall says there's plenty of it nearby. The new courthouse opened this week with some complaints from folks saying they couldn't find a place to park. The city says there are hundreds of parking meters and three parking garages downtown. There are also Santa Fe bus pickup stops nearby. Santa Fean and Medal of Honor recipient Sergeant First Class Leroy Petrie has had his likeness cast in bronze by Powaki Pueblo Governor George Rivera. The statue is already in place on the lawn at Santa Fe City Hall, but will remain under wraps until the official unveiling Monday, June 24th. Titled Hometown Hero, it honors Petrie's heroics while deployed in Afghanistan in 2008, where he picked up a live grenade and tossed it away from his fellow soldiers. Petrie lost his right hand in that incident. President Obama awarded him the Medal of Honor in 2011. The Santa Fe County Treasurer's Office has this week mailed out some 8,000 delinquent property tax notices. A previous state policy that prevented delinquent taxpayers from making partial payments on their bills has now been rescinded. It's hoped the move will allow people to catch up. Santa Fe County collects $190 million in property taxes annually on more than 81,000 parcels of property. The Bureau of Land Management plans two events next week to meet with tribal representatives of Native American trust lands to discuss hydraulic fracturing rules for oil and gas operations. New proposals are said to maintain important safety standards while increasing flexibility for oil and gas operators. Approximately 90% of wells drilled on federal and Indian lands use hydraulic fracturing, but the rules have not been updated in more than 30 years. The closer of the two scheduled meetings takes place in Farmington next Thursday. Santa Fe Mayor David Koss is among a broad coalition of his counterparts around the nation, identifying as part of Mayors Against Illegal Guns. That group is today noting the passage of 6 months since the Newtown, Connecticut school shootings, which helped launch a reinvigorated move to stem gun violence in America. More than 950 mayors from 45 states, including Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, support gun background checks and the banning of some assault-type weapons and high-capacity magazines. A precautionary boil water advisory is in place for the El Dorado Area Water and Sanitation District water system. It comes following a system failure that caused a shutdown and a lowering of water pressure to many of the more than 7,000 customers. After repairs, the system will chlorinate and take bacteriological samples. In the meantime, Eldoradans should boil water for 5 minutes before drinking, cooking, and dishwashing. And weather for Santa Fe, high temperatures will be closer to seasonal norms today through the weekend, running from the low to mid-80s under mostly sunny skies. There's a 30% chance for both afternoon and evening showers and thunderstorms. That drops to 20% tomorrow and just 10% by Sunday. For KSFR News, this is Dan Garrity.
Wall Street is poised to end the week on a downtick. Everything is down. The S&P 500 is still maintaining a hold above 1,600 points, but it's down, as is the Dow Jones, off 109 points at 15,066. 12:13 on at noon. As Santa Feans count the days between the times when they're allowed to water vegetation, the water shortage has made life much tougher in other parts of the state that don't have the benefit of good-sized municipal water supplies. One of those is Mora County, an hour and a half drive from Santa Fe, just above Las Vegas. Only 5,000 people live there, and John Olivas is chairman of the Mora County Commission. I asked him how their water situation is.
In Mora County, actually, I can remember back about 10, 15 years ago when we used to have snow pack up on the La Jicarita, the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. It used to stay the entire summer. At this point, we don't have that luxury, so we do have water issues here in Mora County, where typically at this time we would have a secus that would be running to irrigate some of our fields that, you know, cover the valley. There are a few farmers out there that did have the luxury to irrigate early. So if you come into the valley and you see the green fields, they're the ones that got the water early. At this point in time, through there's two tributaries that feed the Mora River, the Agua Negra and the Rio La Casa tributaries. Those are the two that feed the Mora River. Those actually begin about Cleveland, New Mexico, kind of right in the center of Mora County. And at that point, neither of those tributaries are running. They do surface at some, you know, in some areas in the valley, but for the most part, they've been dry. I think here in my acequia, I actually lay my head down about 10 feet away from our acequia that runs through, and I had 1 day of water this year. So it's definitely one of the most severe droughts that we've had that I've seen over the past couple of years. I can remember we had, you know, at least 2 months of water in our acequias, but this year we had 1 day, which is devastating to a lot of the farmers in the community.
Do you have a community water system, or is it all private wells?
Well, there are a handful of community wells that actually feed some of the households here in the county. And so they are on a system. However, there are a majority like myself that are on well water in houses around me. There's an individual right across the street from me who has actually had problems with her well over the last couple years where it has dried out. I know that there's one over in Cleveland that he had to dig his well even deeper because he was drying out. He ended up putting a tank on his water well so that he could fill water and be able to have a continuous source. But yeah, it's been a horrible last couple of years for sure, and this one definitely being the worst of them.
Are you worried about running out of water?
I think at this point I am not too worried about running out of water. You know, the Mora Valley has a good source aquifer within the valley. We're fed by the Sangre de Cristo Mountains here in the Pecos Wilderness, and most of the water filters into the valley. So we do have, you know, I think adequate sources of aquifer water, but surface water has been, I don't think I've seen it this bad probably in my lifetime.
Mora County made news with its opposition to oil and gas development. You've got a moratorium on it. Would that have affected your water supply if there had been development?
Right now we're dealing with dry surface water that runs through our rivers and our acequias. But Mora Valley still has an abundance of aquifer water. And when talk about industry coming into our community and doing, you know, the fracking process and horizontal drilling, they go directly through our water sources, our aquifers, and to get down to the oil and gas. So if, you know, industry is willing to come in and compromise some of our water sources, which is, I think at this point, all we have is our aquifers, if those are compromised at any length, then, you know, we'll definitely be out of water at this point in time.
Sounds like the drought has focused everyone's attention on other things like oil and gas.
You know, this drought really kind of magnifies the importance of water. I know here in specifically northeastern New Mexico, they're looking at the regional water plan. You have communities that surround Mora County, such as Las Vegas, that needs the water. They're actually looking at pumping water from other communities such as Guadalupe County or Mora County. So those conversations have surfaced, and I think in a year like this with the water issues that we've been having, specifically surface water issues, you know, has really magnified the whole water issue within northeastern New Mexico. So when industry is, you know, coming in and wanting to threaten that resource, you know, I'm very fortunate to be in a leadership role at this point in time to be able to make those types of decisions. You know, I definitely think it's a big topic of discussion we're having right now, but, you know, 20, 30, 40 years down the road, you know, definitely our children and our grandchildren are going to thank us for the decisions we're making today.
How long will that ordinance against oil and gas continue?
I think we had a commission meeting on Tuesday in which we've instilled an additional year on our moratorium. So the ordinance, keep in mind that the ordinance kind of targeted the corporations, Chevron, other mining industries that have leases here in Mora County. So that's what the ordinance targeted. So we instilled a moratorium that addressed the individuals that had any concerns of going ahead and drilling for oil and gas. So On Tuesday, on June 11th, we instilled a moratorium that extends another year. So there are definitely additional measures that we're taking to protect the resource here in Mora County.
John Olivas is chairman of the Mora County Board of Commissioners. On At Noon from KSFR News. On really hot New Mexico days, more air cooling units ask for more electricity to deliver more cool air to consumers. But PNM is a way of helping solve the peak demand problem one air conditioner at a time. Susan Spawner from PNM is on the line. Tell us about what you call your Power Saver program.
The Power Saver program, in a nutshell, helps to lower the demand for electricity. And we use it on hot summer afternoons, and that's when our customers use the most electricity. The benefit for our customers is that instead of bringing a gas plant online or purchasing power at a time when power is the most expensive, we just reduce our use. And the way we do that is through our customers who volunteer to let us remotely cycle down their centralized refrigerated air units for a brief period of time. Once the customer signs up, they don't have to do anything. It all happens, you know, happens automatically. And what your air conditioner isn't turned off. It just runs more slowly, so you don't quite get the cooling that you normally would. And then after a few hours when the event is over, your air conditioner automatically returns to its normal operation.
Peak demand is always a killer for utility companies, isn't it?
Well, right. That's when you're using almost all of your resources. And it's also the most expensive electricity that we provide to our customers. One of the things that this program does is that it helps us to delay adding new resources, which are, of course, expensive. To add a new gas plant costs money, and why do it if you don't need to? The other benefit of this program is that if for some reason we had a power plant trip offline on a hot summer afternoon, we can activate this program and hopefully keep power reliable for everybody.
Now, we don't have a lot of air conditioners in the Santa Fe area. There are a number. It's somewhat cooler, a lot cooler than Albuquerque, but between Santa Fe and Albuquerque is Rio Rancho. They get awfully hot, too. And how many customers do you have on Power Saver?
We have about 30,000 customers who participate with us now, and in return, they get a $25 sign-up check, and then every year that they participate, we also send them an additional $25. So we're paying you to help us out, and the benefit really is for every customer. Even if you don't participate in the program, you have the benefit that we have a cost-effective resource and a clean resource, I should also say, because the cleanest energy we can use is the energy we actually don't have to use.
This device fits on the individual's cooling system and powers it down. By what factor does it go down? Is it measured in degrees or percentages?
It runs at about 50%.
50%.
And it's the compressor. So we don't turn your air conditioner off. It's just not running as vigorously. And it shouldn't hurt your unit. It shouldn't cause any problems to your unit at all.
Well, that's a big question. I was going to ask that. Variable power, variations in power going into something like that could be harmful, but you say it's not.
No, it should be safe for your unit, and this is a program that's not only been used by PNM for several years, but by many utilities across the country. So it is a known and proven technology.
What's the temperature going to be like today in Albuquerque?
Well, I don't think it's going to be as hot today, and they're calling for thunderstorms, and I hope we do get some rain.
What have you had so far this week? Over 100, right?
Yeah, it's been pretty hot. We've out of the gate this summer pretty hot, and we've actually used this program almost all week. So our customers who are participating, we really owe them a debt of thanks. You give up a little bit of comfort for a period of time, but there is some real good that comes out of it.
Well, it sure beats living in a house at over 100 degrees.
It does, yes.
Susan Spawner, PNM, many thanks.
Thank you.
A big decision at the U.S. Supreme Court about your DNA. Rob Young has this.
In a landmark U.S. court ruling, biotechnology companies have been told they cannot patent human genes. The court has ruled that a firm, Myriad Genetics, cannot patent human genes, bits of our bodies. But it did say companies can claim ownership rights over strands of human DNA which have been modified by scientists. Well, this could have a big impact on the multi-billion dollar biotechnology industry. Eric Gordon, a professor of law at the University of Michigan, explains the court's decision.
The core of the decision is that companies cannot patent actual genes. So the genes you and I carry around in our body and sort of tell our body what proteins to produce and really make us, those genes themselves cannot be patented. And that's, I think that's the biggest story in the case, because there were fears that if the Supreme Court allowed companies to patent our genes, well, it's the same as saying that they actually own a piece of us. Very strange result indeed.
So some companies were effectively saying that they could claim to have invented something which, after all, are products of nature.
Yeah, and that's exactly how the case turned. The company, which is called Myriad, said that, well, we have isolated the gene, so it's not exactly a product of nature. It's not as it occurs in nature. And the Supreme Court said, well, just isolating it isn't a really big difference. It's still the same gene. It still carries the same information, the same instructions to tell your body what to do. So we're not buying that. It's still a product of nature. The court, however, did leave the door open for other kinds of patent protection, which I think will be very important to the industry and to innovation in healthcare. But no company is actually going to own anybody's genes.
Is there a danger that this decision could effectively set back some medical research?
I think that risk is small, because the Supreme Court crafted a very precise and careful decision. They said, for example, that Myriad could receive a patent for what's called cDNA. cDNA is sort of an artificial form of DNA where the DNA has been modified to cut certain pieces of it out. And the court said, well, that wasn't exactly the state of nature. That is a modification. That is something new and different, and that can be patented. The court made it very clear that methods claims would be patentable. So, for example, a method of isolating the gene, a specific method for isolating the gene, could be patent protected, not the isolated gene itself. Method of using certain genetic information to diagnose specific diseases could be patentable. So what the court seems to have done is a balancing act. No, you can't own people's genes. But yes, you can if you're providing something that's actually different than the state of nature. The industry is not alarmed by this. The stock in the company that was involved in this case actually went up today in the U.S. stock exchanges. This case has been interpreted by the industry as being okay.
Is that because it gives stability? It gives companies the framework within which they can work, whereas previously it was a little uncertain?
That's exactly it. Once you know what the rules are, you know where to put your investment.
You said that one of the court's decisions was that companies could patent a way of testing for various genes, and it makes me think of the Angelina Jolie announcement recently that she'd had a double mastectomy because she'd tested positive for a gene that made getting breast cancer more likely. Does that mean that these kinds of tests will perhaps in future only be limited to those who can afford to take them? They won't be more widely available.
This isn't going to automatically make these tests free, but that isn't what you want, because if the tests are free, there will never be a more advanced test. There will never be a better test. There has to be a balancing between some ability for companies to make a return on their investment and for people to own their own bodies.
That was law professor Eric Gordon.
And that was Rob Young with that report. It's 80 degrees on our way to mid-80s for highs today. 1230 at 101.1 KSFR, Santa Fe. Bill Dupuy in the Midday News team with you on at noon from KSFR News. We're making good progress with our summer silent fund drive. You can take part in one of several ways. One of them is to, easy, return the coupon in the letter you may have received. Also easy, donate at ksfr.org safely and securely online. And just as easy, call us at 505-428-1527. Thanks for your support. We're joined by the old curmudgeon.
Every now and then, I'll watch a few minutes of ABC's Entertainment Tonight. I've never been what you would call a celebrity watcher. I don't really care who's divorced, remarried, gone into rehab, failed rehab, become anorexic, or doubled their body weight. Although I will admit that when I'm in the checkout lane, I will glance through the tabloids that have mostly unflattering photographs of celebrities in bathing suits. But back to Entertainment Tonight, also known as ET. Several years back, I noticed something about the hosts of Entertainment Tonight. They were yelling everything they said, yelling like they were doing voiceovers for TV car ads, like there wasn't a microphone within 20 yards of them. I guess someone decided that yelling makes everything you say more important. For myself, E.T. remains extra traumatizing.
Did you hear that, E.T.?
For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.